you can see how Jesus was more open to being tempted when he's hungry, he's tired. He's, mm-hmm. And you can sense that about yourself. Like, it's much easier to give in to stuff when you're tired. Give in mm-hmm. to your kids when you're like, oh, I just don't feel like arguing with you about it. But I feel like sometimes we become a target of our enemy when we're in that spiritually strong place.
You're 100% right. Because the second thing that we want to talk about with the parallel between the first and second Adam mm-hmm. is the conditions under which they were tempted. Mm-hmm.
Hi, this is Holly. Welcome to Study with Friends, a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God through His Word, the Bible. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org, where you'll also find homework you can download to follow along. That's studywithfriends.org. This week, we continue talking about that concept of first and second Adam. But don't be intimidated. It's not that complicated. You can handle it. Because it's really about our own ways and Jesus' perfect ways. We can relate to Adam because he failed in obedience, and we do too. Compare that to Jesus' perfect obedience, not just in our core text, which is the temptation in the desert found in Matthew chapter 4, but his whole life is in obedience to God. We're showing through Scripture how obedience and timing are always linked, which is what this series is all about. In the end, there's so much about the quality of life we can have in Jesus Christ that's connected to our obedience in what God has instructed us to do. Let's talk about that.
Let's just quickly parallel the first and second Adam, because I think this is a great exercise. But let's not just keep it at arm's length, looking at Adam and Jesus, Adam and Jesus. Okay, so the first temptation, Adam and Eve, was in the Garden of Eden. This was a beautiful, lush, you can picture it, like green and lots of flowers, I always picture it, and trees and healthy vegetation. And I think there's water and it's just nice.
Yeah.
The second temptation was in the desert. This is quite a contrast. This is a dry and desolate place. Yeah. Which place would you rather experience adversity?
So I think it goes into what we were discussing before about how you need to be at a place where you're on your knees. And it would be great if we could do that in the lush garden, beautiful place. That would be wonderful if we can continuously do that. But we as Adam don't seem to get that right either.
Yeah.
So it's usually when you're tempted in the desert and you're on your knees.
Would you agree that while I should experience success in the place where I'm surrounded by God's life and love and abundance, I most often experience intimacy in the place where it's dry and desolate? Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We become confident that, oh, yeah, we're good. We're fine.
I mean, listen,
we don't need that. We got it.
Let me.
That's the word.
Yeah, I know. We do take things for granted.
Mm-hmm.
So, but let me draw a distinction, because I do think we can and do, I do experience more success when I am intentionally surrounding myself with God's best. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I'm intentionally surrounding myself with God's people, when I'm accountable to Bible study, then I am actually better equipped to handle adversity because I've intentionally surrounded myself with God's best. Mm-hmm. But when I walk away from in disobedience, when I walk away from God's best, He will often bring me to a place, a dry, desolate place, to remind me of my need for Him. And then He walks me back. And then I get frustrated because I'm like, why did I stop? What an idiot. I just wanted to draw that parallel. Did you want to say something?
It's just when I was reading this, you know, and I'm looking at of course I want to be in a beautiful place, you know, and I moved on. But as we're talking about this now, I'm like, that would be awesome. But it knocks me down more to be in a dry, desolate place.
Yeah.
That's where I learn my lesson's the best.
Yeah. It reminds you of your need for Him.
Right.
It's so easy to forget our need for Him. How totally arrogant and ridiculous. Yeah. Because we just, you know, things are going okay. I know.
And we know what to do.
There comes a certain point where I'm just like my prayer is, don't let me forget. Don't let me be the architect of things blowing up because I was too comfortable. Learning to stay cognizant of your need in a good season, it's almost like a healthy fear of the Lord. Like, I know that if I forget to do what I'm supposed to do and to abide in my Jesus. He loves me too much to leave me where I'm not doing good with him. Mm-hmm. So he'll move me sometimes through upsetting experiences. Mm-hmm. And so like being aware in the garden of staying in that place and intentionally feeding and watering the things that he wants me to be and do so that I don't force myself into the desert. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There was a series that we did using God's word in everyday life. Yeah. One of the lessons out of that was how do we mess ourselves up? One of the things that I lifted out of that was not going into the desert on purpose, like staying where I know I belong, staying with the people. You know, even as if it's like texting one of you guys, which I do all the time, if mm-hmm. I need prayer or mm-hmm. if I'm feeling, you know, that's sometimes enough, enough of a tether to keep me from going into that dry, desolate place. But if I decide not to, which I yelled at you the other day.
I know.
Don't isolate.
Yeah. I was there. I heard it.
I didn't really yell.
No, you didn't yell.
But you were so right. And it was such a necessary wake up. You know, like I even knew.
I was a little mad at you.
I even knew. And I was even, he was even trying, I think, to get me to, but I kept saying, well, I don't want to share. But you don't always have to. Like you said, you can just sometimes say, look, I'm in a bad spot.
Yeah. That's a great piece of advice.
He knows the details.
Yes. You don't have to share specifics.
Amy and I are from the same biological line. We have the same similar blood running through us. So we both, I think, come from that. We would had a tendency to sort of just bleh right out there mm-hmm. in the past.
Put it all out there?
Put it all out there. And I think we maybe have both learned you can get burned by that.
Very much
it doesn't
so.
Mean you're mm-hmm. always called to do that. And sometimes maybe you are, and it may be obedience for you to do it, but you know,
sometimes
I guess as you mature, as you mature, you start to discern that. But, and there may be a time when he's going to call you, and maybe it's not now.
Ah, timing.
For you, you're getting ahead.
It's okay. You're feeling. I see that it's happening with you right now.
Light bulb. It's starting.
Light bulb.
It's like the kind that you know doesn't come on right away.
Yeah.
Can I say something about the beautiful place?
Yes, please.
I just thought of something. God puts me in beautiful places to talk to other people. Mm. And I think of, you know, my kids and praying with them or trying to work through situations with the word. Mm-hmm. And that just gives me more reminders and puts me in a better place.
Yep.
And I've just never really thought about that because I have so many opportunities because of what I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You take
that
it for granted.
I do.
Yep.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do.
But it keeps you in that place. But it's interesting because sometimes life will keep us in that place. That's your vocation. That's mm-hmm. your job. Mm-hmm. You made a decision to take that job and you make a decision every day to do it well, but you've now aligned yourself in a place where you're going to be accountable. Not all of us are in vocational ministry. So our choices will have to look a little bit different. We still have to make them. We still have to make those choices to be intentional and stay in that place. You know, it's hard for me when Faith Acts, which is our midweek church
plug.
Dinner thing that stops for the summer. Bible study usually breaks for the summer. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I feel, even though I'm doing this, I feel a little bit like a ship without a rudder because I don't go to staff every
sometimes
day.
Sometimes church stops for the summer.
Yeah. Well, not
our total,
but for people.
Yeah. Some people do stop going.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yes. I see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and we travel a lot.
Yeah, there's so
and
many so, trips, right?
So we have to find a church where we are going. That's hard to do. And so all of a sudden you become untethered. And I guess I'm bringing it all back. This, when we think about the lush and beautiful place that Adam and Eve were in, and then the dry and desolate place. The bottom line of that is just don't isolate.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let it happen. We all can feel when it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. So that's the final word on that. Don't do it. Okay.
But sometimes, sorry, I can't. Don't you find, I think you had a question if you've ever been asked about obedience in. You can see how Jesus was more open to being tempted when he's hungry, he's tired,
mm-hmm.
and you can sense that about yourself. Like it's much easier to give in to stuff when you're tired, give in mm-hmm. to your kids when you're like, oh, I just don't feel like arguing with you about it. But I feel like sometimes we become a target of our enemy when we're in that spiritually strong place.
Absolutely. Well, it's great. You're 100% right. And let's look real quickly at the homework and then circle back to that.
Okay.
Because the second thing that we want to talk about with the parallel between the first and second Adam, mm-hmm. is the conditions under which they were tempted. Mm-hmm. First temptation, the conditions were that Adam and Eve could eat everything. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk just about eating. Because mm-hmm. obviously we talked about the lush and beautiful place. They were allowed to eat everything except one fruit. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they had, that was their condition. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was allowed to eat nothing. Again, a really stark parallel, mm-hmm. right? That I had never, God just,
yeah.
this is God's grace. He was just washing it over me. He was like, look at this, then look at this, mm-hmm. look at this. And then we're going to talk about why it's different, but you're touching on it. I am so prone to sin that even in the best of conditions, I will still fail. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think this parallel shows, that Jesus is perfect. And even in the worst conditions, mm-hmm. he will still be perfect. Mm-hmm. I am so full of sin that even in the best conditions, I will still sin. Mm-hmm. So I want to say that first, because it just, again, draws such an incredible parallel between what I have going on and how much I need Jesus Christ and his perfection. Mm-hmm. But you're also right. When I am active and effective for the kingdom, I do sometimes feel like there's a target on my back. I'm going to talk about that. I have to talk about that. Mm-hmm. When I first started teaching again as an adult, I'm walking forward in obedience and somewhat confusion. Because I'm like, I think this is what God's telling me to do. Mm-hmm, and that's mm-hmm. basically what I said to Kay. Mm-hmm. I didn't have it like all buttoned up. Yeah, I wasn't like, Kay, God told me to teach a Bible study and here's the syllabus. It was more like, I think that that's what I'm supposed to do right now. Mm-hmm. And if my kids were little,
yeah.
and I was like, what? This doesn't feel right. The timing and my ability. And again, right. I was fully aware of my own incapability. Mm-hmm. And I just said to Kay, what do you think about that?
I remember.
Do you really?
I do.
See, because that was such a seminal moment for me, but yeah. I didn't think it was really that big of a deal for you. But that's nice that you remember. Thanks. That was the beginning of a new teaching season. Then I started teaching at MOPS mm-hmm. also, and I was teaching a lot. Mm-hmm. In that time, I was in my early 30s. Every time I was in a season of teaching, I felt like things were falling apart around me. Mm. Like when I would step up into obedience, I felt like you said, like there's a target on my back. And I think that that's probably true. I think that when you are raised up in the kingdom, then you're like what I say, you're more on the radar screen mm-hmm. of the enemy. And he knows that he can get a lot of mileage out of bringing you down because mm-hmm. you're doing a lot. Mm-hmm. But I can't leave it at that for two reasons. One, because I would never want to discourage anyone from service.
Right.
Out of fear of being attacked. Yeah. As I heard the call for this particular ministry and was completely freaked out mm-hmm. and disobedient for a full year. So mm-hmm. I heard the call round about a January, mm-hmm. like close to the beginning of the year. How convenient. New year, new call. And I spent a full year. And I think I was in Bible. No, I was in Bible study with yeah. you.
Yep.
Because I was like, I'm not even going to tell you what it's about. Yep. I just am telling you that I am flopping and flailing around in disobedience. And I cannot seem to pull myself out. Because I kind of don't want to. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do what he's asking me to do. Mm-hmm. And so as much as I don't want to be disobedient, I'm more comfortable in the disobedient place. Yeah. I don't want to mm-hmm. do what he's asking me to do. So I'm feeling the loss of intimacy with God. I'm feeling the impact on my spiritual life, but I'm not ready to move. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things for me was, here's a bigger scale of teaching Bible study. Mm-hmm. And the biggest Bible study that I had taught before, we now have who knows how many listeners? Five? Four. was about 55 women at my church. And that season was riddled with attack. Yeah. And so yeah. all I could do was expand out. If this teaching ministry gets bigger, then doesn't the attack get worse?
Right.
And I was super freaked out. And that was really my fundamental issue with not moving forward. So I have to put a bookend on this for you. Mm-hmm. I went forward anyway in abject fear for my family, for my children. Because those are the ways he's going to attack me. Mm-hmm, he's going to mm-hmm. beat the stuffing out of the people that I love the most. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, he has protected my family. We moved into a new thing. We moved Sophia into a Christian school. He moved my husband into this Christian Businessmen's Association. Greg's more in a spiritual place than he's ever been. Mm-hmm. My kids are more in a spiritual place than they've ever been. And it's almost as if God was like, you did the scariest possible thing, mm-hmm. and I'm rewarding you for it. And I'm going to protect you there. How could you think I wouldn't protect you there? Mm-hmm. I love you. Mm-hmm. And you're scared. I got you. There are days, but it makes that I feel attacked. Mm-hmm. But that's true anyway. It'd be true if I wasn't doing this.
Yeah.
And I look back now and I can see that the attacks that I experienced in those other seasons of teaching were in part my own doing. In part, my own disobedience, because mm-hmm. what we were talking about, I can't remember if we were mic'd up or not, but you said there's something in your life right now that mm-hmm. you're experiencing disobedience about. You mm-hmm. were like, you said the words, I've been disobedient for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I have to argue. I have to come against that because I see your life. Mm-hmm. You're obedient in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And what you were saying was, but there's this one area. Mm-hmm. So what I can say is, yes, we come under attack. We're going to come under attack, whether we're in a ministry, big M ministry, or whether we're just living a life, which should also be a ministry.
Right.
We're going to come under attack. But it's our obedience inside that space that amplifies or reduces what the attack looks like. It really, really, really does. Because guess what, guys? Satan doesn't have all that much power.
No.
We give him a lot more credit mm-hmm. than he really in reality has. Mm-hmm. And so when I look back on those experiences, I feel like, oh, I see now how I contributed.
Yeah.
And for me, mostly it's pride. Pride is woven into so much of the mess that I've made in my life. Hindsight's 2020.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I hear you, and I want to acknowledge that what you're saying is true. Mm-hmm. Often people who are in ministry, I mean, I can think of really famous pastors who ended up in adultery. Mm-hmm. These things happen. Mm-hmm. But guess what? So do non-famous regular dudes true. End up in mm-hmm. adultery, right? So right. So it's not necessarily because you're stepping up to be someone who's working for the kingdom. Right. So I just had to say that.
Yeah.
I had to say that and also had to encourage you mm-hmm. and anyone else who feels that way, who's had that season of feeling like, okay, when I'm teaching, my family is a mess. And when I'm not teaching, things seem to be calm. Because that is making a deal with the devil.
Right. And it's, I think, taking away some of your own accountability.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. Yeah.
Well, and you know, Greg said that to me. You made a deal with the devil.
Mm.
God bless my husband for holding me accountable like yeah. that. Oh my gosh. I was like, oh. He said, you can't make a deal with the devil. You've said to him, I won't do this if you leave us alone.
Yeah.
He said, because he's a liar.
Mm-hmm.
He's a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, you're so right. Even right now, I feel that moment. And I know, right?
Mm.
And yeah. I feel that moment. Like, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
To not do what God's asking me to do. I know better than that. I know that obeying him is going to produce blessings. And that's what this study's all about. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to do when you're overcome with fear.
Mm.
Satan is the author of fear. Fear is his playground.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear what you're saying and I acknowledge what you're saying. And there's truth to what you're saying. We will be attacked, but we will also be protected.
Right.
Because when God puts us forward into a place of serving him, he's not going to let us go in there alone.
Right.
God brings you to it. He will bring you through
That's
it.
That's right.
Peter, when he said, Satan's asked to sift you like wheat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have all
that
of
that is Peter, Matthew 16, Matthew. I believe.
I just want to say the verse that you already said, Holly, that Luke 11:28. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And that was Jesus speaking. So we need to remember to keep ourselves in the word so that we can consistently,
yeah,
you know, well, hear God and be reminded, because a liar is there telling you all of those lies,
right.
Yeah.
Telling me all of those lies.
Yep. And it's intentional, like what we were just talking about. You have to make a decision. And that's so it's somewhere in Luke. I'm wrong. It wasn't Matthew 16. It's somewhere in Luke. Being intentional is basically obedience, right? That's what we're talking about. So we're talking about making sure that you're setting your mind and setting your heart towards the things that are good and productive. That's basically boils down to just being obedient to mm-hmm. what God has instructed you to do. Okay, so we talked about the conditions, and I'm glad you brought that up, Nancy, because I think that's that's fair and reasonable for us to address this idea of, like, if I step forward in a capital M ministry, mm-hmm. then I'm going to be more attacked than mm-hmm. I would be if I just slipped under the radar.
Right.
Then I think there's some truth to that, but also that we have the ability to battle that back because he goes with us.
Right.
The glory of the Lord will be our rear guard. Mm-hmm. I pray that a lot. Would you be their rear guard? You know, as she goes to school today, be her rear mm-hmm. guard. Mm-hmm. Have her back. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he does. He doesn't leave us like that. So the other condition that I just want to quickly bring up in the first and second temptation with Adam and Eve in the garden and then Jesus in the desert. Mm-hmm. In the first temptation, Adam and Eve were each other's support system, but they failed each other, right? Mm-hmm. So they had each other, but as humans, they failed. And in the second, Jesus depends only on God, his Father, and Scripture, and they do not fail him. He's perfect, so he wouldn't have failed anyway, but he shows us a parallel of what fails and what doesn't. And what's interesting, Nancy, is you really like that Micah 7:8, mm-hmm. but right before it, I believe in Micah 6, the Bible warns us not to depend on people. Mm-hmm. Basically, it says, don't count on your family or anyone in your household because they will fail you. And that's another really, you know, Adam and Eve were in each other's household, right? They depended on each other. And we can depend on godly fellowship. I'm not saying don't do that. But what I'm saying is don't attribute to godly fellowship what only can be supplied through the Lord and his word and a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can tell you that for a long time, I wanted Greg to be something that really Jesus should only be in my life.
Right.
And I would get frustrated and disappointed in my husband when he wasn't fill in the blank attribute mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that really only Jesus is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And in another example of God pushing me into a place where I see that truth, our marriage was in a really bad place right after my mom died. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, who do I have? Mm-hmm. Who do I have? If not my mom and not my husband, who is for me? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, Jesus. But do you know what I mean? Like, it forced me to not lean on even my husband, who I know God gave me as a perfect mate. But there are things that are not his responsibility.
Right.
Only Jesus should be those things to me. And so in Micah 7, starting in verse 5, it says, do not trust a neighbor, put no confidence in a friend. Even with her who lives in your embrace, be careful of your words. For a son dishonors his father, a daughter rises up against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the members of his own household. Mm. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Now, that doesn't mean that you should look at your household as your enemies. What it means is, do not put all your faith in them. They are human like you are, and they'll disappoint you, as will your friends. The only reliable, perfect Savior is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to lift out the condition of Adam and Eve depending on each other. And, you know, there's a lot of banter back and forth who was responsible for eating the apple. But the truth is they're both responsible.
Right.
Hey, she didn't like clamp his teeth down on mm-hmm. that apple. Mm-hmm. He put it in his mouth and ate it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter whose idea it was. The bottom line is, you did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't I say that to my kids all the time? It doesn't matter who started it.
Right.
So they failed each other. And so we will fail each other if we rely on each other and cut out Jesus Christ.
And isn't it interesting that he threw her under the bus because he said, it's this woman you put here with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But the truth is.
We do that to each other all the time, don't we? I mean.
But the truth is that. Homes, let me. Okay. Family. Since you said it.
But she did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what he was in gravely wrong there, because he knew that mm-hmm. God. I have to answer with saying this, even though as women, it's going to make the hair on the back of our neck stand up.
Say it.
Adam knew that he was given dominion over everything that was created after him. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't mean that your husband has total dominion over you, but he's given you as a gift mm-hmm. that he is called to care for
right.
and help. Mm-hmm. When she came to him, it was his job to, as the spiritual leader of the household to right. say, no, no,
that's yeah.
neither will I, and you shouldn't mm-hmm. either. Mm-hmm. And he didn't. Mm-hmm. So whatever.
Right.
Okay. Whatever, Adam. You were responsible. Okay, first Adam, second Adam.
This is a big concept. Please take a minute to download the homework if you want to understand that more. But next week, we'll pick it back up and talk more about it, so be sure to come back. Study with Friends is here to help you read and understand God's Word at every stage of your spiritual growth. We pray that you're blessed by this program. Would you prayerfully consider joining us as we reach hearts with God's Word? This month, we're praying that listeners would make a commitment of $10 a month. All donations go directly to the costs of teaching God's Word on air and online. So please consider a donation of $10 a month. You can set up monthly giving at our website, studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. Be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.